Good morning, everyone. The theme of my exhortation this morning will be the pillar and ground of the faith, as you already have read it in the letter that Paul wrote to Timothy. As our Brother Clyde has already mentioned, our ranks are fewer than normal, and some speakers standing up here would may object to that and not feel too good about it. But in my situation, I look upon it as a testimony that the pillar of faith has been established firm with us in general area. And the reason I say this is because when I was blessed to move into this area 50 years ago, the situation was not too good regarding the position of the truth in this general area. When I came to Victoria just over 50 years ago, there was only one ecclesia on the island. And the ecclesia, I have to admit, was not a strong and a healthy ecclesia. There was only one ecclesia in Vancouver. In fact, in that general area, there was only one ecclesia and small in number. There was no study weekends. There was no Bible schools, and there was no opportunity for the young people to get together and to have a weekend, a conference, as it is this particular weekend. And so, why do I mention this? Is because when I look on the numbers that are missing this morning, it tells me that things are a lot healthier than they were. It tells me that the pillar of faith is established firm in this area. And so, instead of complaining, we give thanks to the Almighty for this, that things are healthy in this particular way. Nevertheless, brothers and sisters, whilst we stand in this position, we must not rest upon our laurels, because we remember that the Scripture, the New Testament, tells us constantly through those from the lips of those pillars that were established then, that we should constantly be on our guard, because there must be a high maintenance within the house of God. Because there is a possibility that if we neglect this, if we don't get the full support of the pillars of the ecclesia or the members of the ecclesia, there may be, if Christ remains away, the possibility that those things which were written of the seven churches as recorded in the book of Revelation could be applied to us. The situation could become that it is spoken of us as being lukewarm, neither hot nor cold. It could be spoken of us that we have lost our first love. There is a possibility of this. So to erase this and remove the possibility of such thing being spoken of us, we have to constantly examine ourselves. And this is what the Scripture tells us, that we have to do this. Now we remember, do we not, in the history, that when Jesus went up into heaven, he commanded his apostles that they should be the foundation and the pillars of the truth. And they should have this situation where they could call upon others to support them, having the general knowledge that if these pillars remain steadfast and firm, then these pillars would be covered by the canopy of the love of God. He would support them in every way to do this, because he had a purpose with the preaching of the gospel and the establishment of the house of God, so that when his son returns, he would find it fit to be inhabited. So we remember, do we not, that when Jesus ascended up into heaven and he gave the command to these stalwarts, these pillars of faith, he told them that they had a commitment. And the commitment was a maintenance to preserve the truth, to erect the houses of God throughout the land at that particular time. And so it is recorded in Galatians chapter 2, and there we read in verse 9, those who are spoken of as these pillars. And we remember that Paul wrote of this and referred the ecclesias to those men who were established in the faith. They were stalwarts. They were made of the right material. They had the right consistency to remain steadfast. They were able, so strong, reaching up into heaven, as Paul says, reaching for things in heaven and not upon the earth, that they were able to cause others to lean upon them for support, that they might survive the storms of life. So Paul said this in Galatians chapter 2. He says, when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars or were pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and to Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. So it was all already recognized that though there was one ecclesia, and we emphasize it with the history of the early church, there was only one ecclesia, and that was in Jerusalem. Jesus told them that they had to set out on a missionary journey and set up these other ecclesias, houses of God, throughout the world, so it would be convenient wherever people live to be able to see, and observe that there was a house of God established there for men and women to go to constantly so that they could be conscious and reminded each week of their responsibility before their God for high maintenance cause the houses to remain, that people could go to for comfort, security, and a place of refuge, and to wait until the master returns to occupy his house. So it is interesting to see. And Paul said he rejoiced. He gave thanks to God that God had given, that Jesus had given him the commitment, had given him the opportunity to be laborers within the house of God. And so we're reminded that he, with these, having had this privilege given to him, when he wrote to the ecclesias, he reminded them that this was their occupation. This was their destiny in life, is to support the brotherhood, to be pillars of the ecclesia. The more pillars there are, the easier it is, and the less strain upon the pillars that have already been established. And so we remember it is recorded in the 1 Corinthians chapter 3, when the Apostle Paul wrote to this ecclesia of Corinth, which was having a difficult time. And this is why Paul stresses it, because in their ministration, in the building of the house of God, it was not an easy task, no more than when Israel returned to the land and they wanted to build the temple of God and they had the opposition constantly. They had to have the sword in one hand and the trowel in the other to work in that way. There was no letdown. They had to be constantly in the nighttime and in the daytime so that there was no opposition and stumbling block, so that the work might be completed. But Paul reminded the brothers and sisters of his day that they labored not in vain, they labored not on their own, they had the support that could come from nowhere else, and that was the great architect, or the God, who had a design, a plan, to have his house established upon the earth as a permanent fixture when his son returns. So in the 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and at verse 9, we read this. He reminds them. He speaks about the being united in the purpose of establish the house of God. And he said, we're not divided. We don't go off into different areas of the ecclesia and we do our own thing under different ones. We are united, we are fused together, we are one in purpose. And so this one in purpose is to build the house of God. And so he records those who were, there's a certain amount of friction within the ecclesia. Some were saying, well, I go along with brother so-and-so, but I'm not too happy with brother so-and-so. Paul says, in this way, he says, this shouldn't be the situation. And he says in verse 9, we are all laborers together. We are all laborers together, leaning upon each other. Recently, there was a documentary of the building of the big cathedrals in England. And it was interesting to see how the architects, 400 years ago, had constructed these marvelous buildings as an architect appearance in a particular way, how that they designed it so pillars would lean upon pillars for support. And when there was a weakness in the structure of the roof, it was because one had given way, one section had given away, so that caused a weakness and more strain upon the others. So this is what Paul says in verse 9. We are laborers together with God, the great architect. Ye are God's husbandmen or workers. Ye are God's builders or pillars, a part of the structure of the house of God. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundations. This is the ground of the faith administered and shown by the apostle Paul. I have laid the foundation and another leans upon it and dovetails with it. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundations can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus the Christ. He is the cornerstone. He is the main pillar in which we all dovetail together, fit together, so it can remain strong to face all things till the Master returns to the earth. So, brothers and sisters, we remember, do we not, that in this particular way, the Apostle Paul is telling us it has a lot to do with the texture and the substance of the pillar. So we remember that the Apostle Paul mentions this, the urgency of a constant maintenance to keep the house of God strong. Now we had the readings for 1 Timothy, and you'd like you to turn there because this is where the theme of our exhortation comes from. In the 1 Timothy chapter 3, you'll remember that there's the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, and he's writing to Timothy because, as we remember, do we not, that it was written from while Paul was in Laodicea, and he writes in this way concerning the high maintenance of the ecclesia. And when some of us read this chapter, we thought, well, now, I wonder what Brother MacPherson's going on, his exhortation going to be concerning the members of the ecclesia, the way the husband should behave, and the bishops and so on, and all in this different way. The reason being we selected this chapter was because Paul is directing the attention of the members of their responsibility and maintenance. How it was so essential to examine oneself, as we are exhorted to do from Sunday to Sunday. But when he goes through all the responsibilities from chapter 3, when he goes into the different phases of the work that should be carried out, he says, if a brother or sister takes on this work, it should be with a desire. And we want you to notice it. It should be with a desire, not a commitment, not to fulfill a role that we attend on certain occasions so that no one will have cause to say, well, you weren't there at the meeting, you didn't do this, you didn't do that. It was nothing to do with that. It should be, as he said here, that what we do, it should be by the desire of the office which has been given to you. So the Apostle Paul, when he was in Laodicea, he realized the problems that were setting in within the brotherhood of the house of God. Laodicea, as we know, was recorded as a needing divine attention in Revelation chapter 3. As we know, that it was neither warm nor hot. It was lukewarm. And so the Apostle Paul could see that these pillars of this ecclesia was not as strong as they appeared. It's just like the scribe and the Pharisee, we know, was spoken of. They looked religious. They looked pious. But it was a false front. And that's what you get in some buildings today. You get something that looks beautiful and structure and appearance, But it's a false front. It's not. It didn't have this consistency and the texture that it should have to last forever. And so things are built today different to what they were in years gone by. Years have gone by, things were built to last 1,000 years. Today, as we know, people say, well, don't worry, this house is only good for another 50 or 60 years. And so the Apostle Paul realized there was a need to examine the structure of the pillars of the ecclesia. He realized there was a message that should be sent out to the ecclesia right now. And so he wrote to Timothy, who he knew would be going out to visit in these different ecclesias, and this is what he says in chapter 3 and at verse 15. He said, Timothy, I really want to come right now because there's an urgency. He was an inspector, a spiritual inspector of the houses and the pillars of God. He was given this ministry. He was given this insight as to what the pillars should be in their consistency of the material that made it up. He was given this ministry. So he had therefore the divine rights to write in this way. And so in chapter 3 and at verse 15, he said, Timothy, young man, if I tarry long, you've got to speak on my behalf and you've got to act right now because there's a danger within the brotherhood. Within the ecclesia. In verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church or the ecclesia of the living God, the pillar and ground of the faith. So this is what Paul says to Timothy. First of all, remind the brothers and sisters that their house, their ecclesia, is the dwelling place of the living God. It is the pillar and the ground of the truth. And so we remember that when we go read through scripture, wherever it is, when pillars are mentioned, it is always associated with the house of God. We go to the tabernacle, we go to the temple, we go to the house of God in this particular way. And so what we do, for a few moments, as we read from Deuteronomy, we'll go and associate ourselves with the ecclesia in the wilderness. Now we know the ecclesia in the wilderness was not always in good condition. We know that the ecclesia in the wilderness had its times when it stood strong, reached up to the heavens, and all people could see that God was dwelling with these people. It was a witness to the nations around that this house of God was strong. But we know that in the structure they developed a weakness and constantly it fell within their journey towards the promised land. So in Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 2 we read this. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. He led you there that you may know the truth. He delayed them in the wilderness so as to speed them into the good land. He led them through the wilderness, through this life experience, to know what was in their heart. That's what he wanted to know. He wanted to know what the texture and the material of the pillar was made up of. He wanted to know what was in their heart. And so as we continue in that chapter, we remember we're told what was in their heart, that their heart was far from God. Verse 5, thou shalt also consider in thy heart, and as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. He again observes and changes the texture of the pillows. And he continues in that way in verse 17. And thou shalt say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. And this is the way the people went. They considered that when they were tall, they appeared to be tall and strong, it was by their own hands and not by God, who was helping them in this particular way. And so in Isaiah 29, this prophet seems to be able to sum up the ingredients, or the lack of the right ingredients, in these pillars and in this ecclesia. So it is recorded, as we know, in Isaiah 29 and verse 13, he said, this is the problem with the ecclesia that exists now, the house of God. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips to honor me, but they have removed their heart from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precepts of men. And so we remember, brothers and sisters, that that's the way it was. Their heart was far from him. Their heart was made up of things which were not suitable for a house of God. Their heart was not of gold. And so there is a possibility of this, as it was in the days of Israel, that there can be this appearance of being a strong, tall, and an upright pillar. But as we know, does not have the right consistency. And so remember that Jesus Christ, unfortunately, had to observe the family of God in his day. When we go to Matthew 15 and verse 8, it says this. This is the trouble with the people today, Jesus said. They attend the temple. They attend their meetings. They do their readings. They memorize sections of the scripture. They appear to before all men as uprighteous and pious. But this is what Jesus said of them. He says in verse 8, this people draweth nigh unto me in love. But he doesn't say that. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. So these people were worshipping God in the wrong way. These people were not upright pillars that would hold the house together, because they had not the right consistency. They had not love. They had not love, which is the main ingredient for a pillar that remained. They had not the love for the things that they were involved in this. And so all actions that we do, whether it's attending meetings, doing our readings, whether it's helping, it should be done in this, and that is of love. And you remember the Apostle Paul wrote that beautiful section to the ecclesia in Corinth. He wrote that beautiful section, which is recorded in chapter 13, when he says, you can commit yourselves, as some of the brethren did, thanks to God for them, brethren and sisters, they were burnt at the stake. You can give your body to be burnt as a testimony to the things that you believe in. You can give all the things that you have as a witness to your calling. But Apostle Paul says, but if you do all these things and it's not being done by love, then it's just nothing more than sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. It's just loud noise. It has no meaning. The sound dies before it reaches into heaven. God does not hear it. And so, brothers and sisters, there is an interesting thing to see, that we have to maintain this high position within the ecclesia. We have to have pillars strong. We have to have the pillars to be able to lean upon the other. And we thank God that we have a witness to this within our own ecclesia, that things are being done in love. Our brother Jerome, with his health problems at this particular time, we see how quickly our ecclesia rallied together. And it was beautiful. I'm sure it was written as a sweet-smelling savor to the heavens above, in the way that brothers and sisters have come together to help this brother in his difficult time. And he will be sustained in it. And so whilst we have this commitment to be pillars within our own ecclesia and ecclesias around, also Scripture tells us that this pillar, or our lives, should be so full and so committed, reaching up into heaven to things which are above and not upon the earth, that not alone we, the brotherhood, or other ecclesias can see our example, but also our community. And this may be that one of the weaknesses of our ministration. weakness within the community. And why do I say this? Because you remember the Apostle Paul, he was a pillar within the brotherhood. But his commitment and the structure of this man, though he was small of stature, though this man was small, as we know, physically in his height, he was nevertheless, he could be seen not alone within his own ecclesia, but within the community. And when I think it's beautiful, we're the class that we have in our home on Monday, our brother Bob helped and Di and others with us, and we have been studying the Acts of the Apostles. And we were into the Acts of chapter 19, and there we remember that there was an opposition for those who were pillars of the ecclesia. There was an opposition. The Apostle Paul had a desire to go into the temple, and stand on behalf of some of the others who had been ridiculed and questioned for their faith. And so the Apostle Paul, as it was, he wanted to rush into the theatre, to the platform, and make a defence for these brethren at this particular time. But he was so recognised, this man of faith was so recognised within his community that he had many friends. And there isn't anything wrong with that as long as those friends know where you stand and you're a strong pillar and won't be moved or diverted in the way that you walk. And so we read in Acts chapter 19 and at verse 13, it says, "And when Paul would have entered in unto the people, the disciples suffered him not. His own brother said, 'No, Paul, it's not for you to do this at that time, but continue in this way.' So he said, 'Well, I'm going anyhow, regardless.' And then we read in verse 31, it said, 'And certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friends, sent unto him, desiring him, demanding him, that he would not adventure himself into the theatre.'" And I think that's a wonderful thing, brothers and sisters. If we can be recognized within our ecclesia as a stalwart for the truth, as one who is responsible for the things that he believes in, who is living the truth and fulfilling the commandments, thou shalt love the Lord thy God and thy neighbor as thyself, in this particular way, and everything is done in love to help others to find the truth, then we are strong in this way. And we know the Apostle Paul more than once did it. In that reading from Timothy, we know that he told those who would listen to Timothy that they should be recognized within the area in which they lived as those. When he was in the house of Caesar, we know that were those who were watching him and observed him and saw a man who was strong and determined and settled in the ground of the faith, and they could lean upon him. Onesimus could have been there. And Onesimus, as we know, when it was in difficult time, he found out Paul to lean upon him and to get reassurance. Now, we've been talking about this situation, brothers and sisters, about the pillar and having the right consistency. And whilst we were in Dubai a few weeks ago, we had this lesson brought home to us very forcefully. Because, as you know, Dubai is made up of high buildings. Close to where our family lives, there is this high building, 53 stories high. There's room still on top. If anybody else in the world builds a higher one, the sheikh can build that, commit others to build more floors on top of it, so that he could reach up into the heavens. Man's doings, folly, the fall. And so we saw the structure in this as we were driving through this avenue of these tall buildings, that there seemed to be like big sand dunes between them. And so we were talking about this, and the taxi driver at that particular time, I think, was told us that what it was, that these particular buildings, high buildings that had been built a number of years ago, there had been a flaw in the structure and the material to build these. And now they looked like great sand dunes. And they were so, buildings were so close together that they couldn't, as in the States and other places, put dynamite up and just blow the thing to fall down, because it would affect all the other buildings. So they had to take them down section at a time. And what had happened was that when they built these, they used the sand that was in the desert of Dubai. And it didn't have the right consistency. There was too much salt and other material, foreign material. And so they were unaware of this. They just presumed it was all well. They got this material handy for free in the desert. And so they built them. And so now they realize their folly, and they had to change their procedure now in erection, and they have to import or bring sand in from Saudi Arabia. It was the same situation when the great earthquake of Kobe. Kobe was supposed to be recognized by the building world as the safest city in the world for earthquakes. And yet, when it happened, our daughter-in-law was in Kobe covering the situation at that time. And the thing that they recognized was that most of the buildings stood, but the highways were just buckled like snakes. And they said, well, what's the reason for this? And they did a research on it, and they found the reason was because the pillars had given away. And why did the pillars give away? Because they discovered that when the construction firm built them, they shortchanged the material in the makeup of the pillars. They wanted to cut costs, so they cut out certain of the necessary material to make this pillar strong to withstand any earthquake. And consequently, the pillars fell down, and the highways just buckled underneath it. And it was cut out the transportation. And so we see this in this particular way. We see it both in this exhortation in our own world and in within the brotherhood. The need for constant examination, constant maintenance to be able to stand. Because there is a day coming when the master of the house will return to take it to his own. And he prays that all will be well as he left it in the Ecclesia at Jerusalem. Now, when you travel throughout Turkey and you go into the you follow in the footsteps of the Apostle Paul, and you go into the city of love, or Philadelphia, you will see there that there is little that remains of the city itself. There is no Ecclesia. There is no house of God there. The only thing which it is, and this is, we haven't got time now, but if you go to many of the seven churches traveling in the footsteps of the apostle, you'll find witnesses of things that were spoken of them in Revelation concerning what would happen to them if they didn't remain strong in their structure. So when you go to the city, or the remains of the city of Philadelphia, the only thing that remains, strange that it may seem, the only thing that remains is a pillar. And it's supposed to be the pillar of the church. That's debatable. But there is a pillar there, and it seems to be a witness to the fact that what man had constructed in a way, a particular way at this time, the construction, he had gone the right material, and it was a witness that what God has said concerning this ecclesia regarding their future. Could we remember, do we not, that it is recorded in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 11. It says, concerning this ecclesia, to the angel of the church or the ecclesia of Philadelphia, write. And he goes on, and then he says, behold, I come quickly, the master of the house. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, so that no man can take the crown or the heading of the pillar. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from God, and I will write upon him my new name. And so when the house of God is built, and when the house of God exists now, on the heading and the entrance to this house, there should be the name of God. And so, brothers and sisters, when the great architect looks down upon our ecclesia and the brotherhood today, we hope that he recognizes it, that we're not worshiping him by lip worship, but from the heart. Remember the thing where I was amazed going reading some of the chapters in Deuteronomy recently. And the thing that I noticed, and I must have missed it before, how many times that God says to his people, I love you. Have you ever thought about that? God says to his people, regardless of what you've done, I love you. How many times have we said to God in our prayers, God, I love you for the ministry that you're given. I love you for the ecclesia or the house of God that you have given us that we might be a part of. So, brothers and sisters, remember this, that we are the pillars and the ground of truth. Remember this as we now partake of the bread and wine, what was said of Jesus Christ. God said of him in Psalm 89, he said, I will make my firstborn higher than the kings of the earth. And so then let us examine ourselves as we partake of the bread and wine. And let us, if we are not satisfied with the way that we're walking before our God, let us make repairs, so that when Jesus does return, he will ask us to be part of the structure of his house.